Oh, and that's a brilliant effort. And they've turned it right around. In the space of a few minutes, Saudi Arabia grabbed control of the game.
Welcome to the latest edition of Dowry, the Saudi football podcast, coming to you for the first time since the start of Ramadan. Ramadan Kareem to you all. We hope you're having a blessed month with your families. It's no exaggeration to say that last week, regardless of what happens from now on, will come to be seen as one of the most pivotal of the season. In the Saudi Pro League and the AFC Champions League, some sensational matches and results, and of course, one staggering world record by Al Hilal. With me, as always, is Arab News sport editor Ali Khaled. And we also get to hear from our very own Khaled Al Arfa from Riyadh. Last time we spoke, AK, you were in Jeddah, just ahead of the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. So much has happened since then.
Yeah, hi, Peter. Good to be back. As we mentioned last week, so much going on in Saudi Arabia. On the Friday night, Anthony Joshua beat Francis Ngannou very quickly in Riyadh at knockout chaos. And, you know, made it in time to Jeddah Corniche Circuit. We saw him there the next day, and he was there to witness Max Verstappen absolutely destroy his rivals. Cruise to his second win of the Formula One season, now leads with 51 points. Total dominance, Peter. I mean, he, to finish 13 seconds ahead of second place, 18 seconds ahead of third place, you know, even at this early stage, we didn't think it'll be anything different. And he's absolutely destroying the field. And, you know, we'll run away with the championship this season. On the same night, just as dominant, Al Hilal, you know, equaled the world record with 27 straight wins, 3-1 win over Riyadh. With goals from Neves, Malcolm, and Mitrovic, incredible achievement. It meant on that night, on Friday, they shared the landmark with Welsh team, the New Saints, from the 2016-17 season. But of course, they would go on to get the record outright with a win in the Champions League a few days later against Al Ittihad, and progress to the semi-final where they will meet Al Ain of the UAE. And last night, that record was extended to 29 after beating Damak 21-2-1 an absolutely incredible record. They deserve all the acclaim that's been coming their way. A lot of like messages from around the world on Twitter and all that. A lot of people mentioning the record as well. They are just unstoppable at home and in Asia at the moment.
It's quite incredible, really, Ali. I mean, I don't care where you're playing, what you're doing, but at that level as well, to be, I mean, you talk about, if you look at Invincibles, you talk about that's impressive enough, but there's draws in there. We're talking on the spin, you know, you're talking winning week in, week out, whoever you're playing. It's quite incredible.
It is, absolutely. I mean, and the thing is, they've done it playing, you know, superb football as well. You know, this is a high-quality team. You know, I mean, this is not, as you say, like, there might be some, you know, cynics abroad and all that, but this, they're not playing, low-standard opposition. You know, obviously, they're playing certain weak teams, you know, at some point. But, like, a lot of these matches have involved Champions League, fixtures.
Incredible.
So, and, you know, at any stage, at any, absolutely any level, to win, 27, now 29, you know, in a row is incredible.
Absolutely. Ali, you mentioned Al Ain. Of course, they went through after an astonishing Champions League semi-final, second leg. I actually watched that. A match that had absolutely everything, except a happy outcome for Cristiano Ronaldo and co. Something that we focused on in the last couple of episodes. Was his behavior a catalyst for this downfall of his season?
Well, I mean, it seems to, it has coincided with that little incident. I mean,
a knock-on effect.
A bit of a knock-on effect. But, like, you know, I think that would be taken away from Al Ain. You know, he went and we expected,
brilliant.
You know, it's a sort of comeback from Al Ain were absolutely brilliant. Yes. I mean, over the two legs to defeat Al Nassr is quite something, you know. You know, what can you say about that match? You know, as you said, it had everything. Al Nassr were 1-0 down from the first leg in Al Ain, and then went down 3-0 or 2-0 on the night, 3-0 on aggregate. Looked all over. Incredibly, they recovered to lead 3-2 on the night, make it 3-3 on aggregate, and take it into extra time. Alex Telles scored to make it 3-2 on the night, as you said. A lot of drama there, of course, as you'd imagine. Al Ain went ahead in extra time after Al Nassr's Ayman Yahya was sent off, and really looked, at that point again, to be heading to the semi-finals before stepped up again. Normal time had seen an unbelievable miss from Ronaldo, really like incredible. Yeah. Goalkeeper saved, he missed from 1 yard. But what needed most, he tucked away, a very, very late penalty in extra time, I think 118 or 119 minutes, and took it to the penalty shootout. The penalty shootout was a disaster for Al Nassr. They missed 3 out of 4, and Ronaldo was the one who scored, but Al Ain progressed and deservedly so, I think. There was a lot of credit, I suppose, for Al Nassr, coming back the way they did, never say die attitude, know that. But for Al Ain to, pull off this, over two legs as well, against star-studded Al Nassr. I mean, look, Al Ain are a very good team in their own right, but this was still, quite a big result, on the night. Really just brilliant over the two. For Al Nassr, in a matter of days, all but dropped out of the title race. And after that 3-1 home loss to Al Rad, which we spoke about before, and then, definitely got knocked out of the Champions League. Horrible week for fans and players. We don't call for coaches' heads on here or anything like that, but you wonder if Luis Castro will survive this, because they will think, right, this is the second season, we've dropped out of the, not won the league. So they might want to freshen things up. We'll wait and see. Of course, again, will there be more big signings in the summer? We'll see. But, yeah, not a great week, a few days for Al Nassr.
Of course, they did manage a significant win on Friday. They restored a little bit of confidence, a narrow 1-0 victory over Al Ahly in Jeddah. You-know-who scoring from the spot. It cut Al-Hilal's lead to 9 points, but we already mentioned Al-Hilal came back last night to make it 12 points again against Damac. Our man Khalid Al-Arafah was at the Al Nassr against Ahly gig. He managed a quick word with one of their international players as well.
Hi Ali, hi Peter, how are you guys? An interesting week here in Saudi Arabia. A lot of matches took place. Let me start with the AFC Champions League quarterfinals. Monday, Al Nassr played against Al Ain. An interesting match. Both teams were fighting to win the match. Full time, finished, extra time. They went to penalties. At the end, Al Ain won the match. And then on Tuesday, a Saudi Classico, Al Ittihad against Al Hilal. As well, AFC Champions League quarterfinals. Al-Hilal broke the record, keeps on breaking the record, honestly, with winning without losing any matches, this time against Al-Ittihad. They won 2-0. Now we're waiting for the semifinals, same competition that will take place on the 16th of April, when Al-Ain plays against Al-Hilal anyway. Jump directly to Jeddah, where a big Clasico as well, such a Clasico week. Al Ahly played against Al Nassr. Honestly, both teams needed to win, but Ronaldo, from a penalty kick, finished the game. So Al Nassr came back to the winning. After the match, David Ospina, the goalkeeper for Al Nassr, said, "It's always good to be back. It's always good to win. I suffered from a bad injury for almost a year. I'm recovering match by match, and I promise to do more and more and try to help the team." In such an interesting week, Ali, as I just said, we'll wait and see for the next week, and I'll give back to you guys.
Brilliant, Khalid. Great stuff there. Listen, time to bring in our special guest, Middle East football expert, Matt Monaghan. Matt, welcome back.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Very well, very well. Great to have you. I know AK's itching to get into it. So much to catch up on, Ali.
Yeah, good to see you again, Matt.
How are you going, Ali?
Very well, thanks. I know you've been keeping an eye on all stuff. We really want to talk about Al Nassr. I mentioned just now, Of course, like you said, like we know they won a couple of days ago, but really those, it's been a damaging few weeks and those few days, you know, losing to Arad and then Alain. Tell us in general what you think of, you know, how Al Nassr's season has unraveled, if you want, and then a little bit about that particular match against Alain.
I think I'd begin by saying, I mean, maybe the absence of Talisca has been a big thing. I think he's a player that obviously gets lost in the hype around Cristiano Ronaldo, but he has undergone surgery, hasn't he? He got a minor surgery on an injury and has been absent for, I think, nearly was it all of those games, I think, or certainly since the 4-4 draw against Al Hazm, which really began this horrible run. And I just think, I don't know, they seem to have... They just lost momentum at the wrong time, haven't they? That's, I think, the way I'd describe it. And also, you do wonder, I mean, did they? Was there any complacency about facing Alain? Because Alain, obviously, the most decorated club in the UAE, but Al Nassr were heavy favourites heading into the Champions League. You wonder if that had been the case. And this is Castro. Yeah, I think it's crazy how things can change in football. If you look at the results, throughout most of February, it was, I mean, 4 wins in the spin they reeled off in February. And they were looking in absolute fine fettle, looked like they were going to go toe-to-toe with Al Hilal at continental and domestic level. And it's just unravelled.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and obviously the match itself, incredible stuff, really, you know. And, you know, you did think, you must have thought that they were out of it at certain points. They came back and all, but huge credit to Alain.
Well, I would say, I think this is a lesson that I hope Al Nassr will take going ahead. If you look at the foreign players that Alain have got, they've got young foreign players. So they might not be as big a name, obviously nowhere near as big a name as the likes of Brozovic, Telles, Mane. I won't include Ronaldo in this because Ronaldo's obviously still delivering to in a quite ridiculous level week out in Saudi Arabia. But if you look at the Alain lineup, the likes of Eric, very young, promising Brazilian fullback, Palacios, a former Golden Boy nominee during his time with FC Ball, the Argentine playmaker, and the Emirati Ivorian, I think we can call him now, Kwame Otone at centre-back. I think they have the legs on Al Nassr, and I think Rahimi's one of the... I mean, he's an absolute phenomenal athlete, Rahimi. He scored 5 goals this week as well, 2 in Riyadh, and a hat-trick back on ADNOC Pro League duty on Friday night, a game that I was commentating on. Yeah, I think that was the thing. I think Al Nassr maybe just got ran into the ground a bit, didn't he? I think, and also as well, I think Alain, there can be no argument that they deserve to go through. A quite remarkable match from Khaled Essa in goal for Alain and Riyadh, where he was probably to blame for all the goals in normal time. And then he sets the momentum in the shootout by saving from Brozovic.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, you know, in contrast to, you know, if you want to call it, you know, this drama with Al Nassr, whether on and off the pitch, you know, Al Hilal just keep ticking along, you know, as we mentioned, and obviously, you know, qualified from their own Champions League tie with the minimum of fuss. And along the way, of course, they made light work of it. And along the way, of course, got that record, you know, a word on them, please.
you kind of run out of words, don't you? We do this podcast. You do this podcast every week. I do this podcast every few weeks. It's the same story every time, isn't it? It's not just the ability on the pitch. I'd say it's the mentality as well. Again, shown this weekend with the late Mikael goal to get the win. To get win number, I think it's number, win number 29, is it? The one the other night.
29.
It's just remarkable. They're just, I don't know, you run out of words. They're a winning machine. They've got phenomenal ability and absolute peerless mentality.
I mean, Peter made the point earlier that, you know, it's an incredible record. There's 29 wins now at any level. You know, I mean, let's not forget, like, the previous, you know, the previous record was held by, you know, a Welsh club, the New Saints. So, you know, some people might look at that and say, well, you know, it would have been easy in the Welsh league or at that level. But even that, you know, like, you know, it's still a significant, you know, record that deserves a lot of respect. And now, you know, they've beaten it by 2, and you know, still going. It's yeah, they deserve every credit, and it should not be sort of like dismissed as something that's easier to get.
Actually, well, I would say, actually, I think there seems to be a bit of a mindset changing around the world about what Asian football is, that I haven't seen as many derisive comments as you would expect about this. I think, obviously, last summer, and even since last winter with Ronaldo's arrival, it's been a quantum leap, hasn't it, for the division, both in the quality on the pitch and its perception across the globe. And, yeah, I think Al Hilal, for what they're doing, is absolutely incredible. Again, you know, Al Ittihad, Jeddah giant, Al Ittihad Al Hilal is probably the biggest game in Saudi Arabia, which makes it the biggest game in Asian football. They made incredibly light work of that over the Champions League. In the league, they've obviously played, this run has included games against Nasser, Ittihad, etc. They're just a phenomenal team. And I mean, all credit, I think, has to go to the manager as well for knitting all this together.
Yeah. I mean, 12 points at the moment, the lead. I mean, does it even, you know, worth saying anymore the title race is over?
I guess we've got Al-Shabaab next up for Riyadh Derby, haven't they? Which, you know, Al-Shabaab, I commentated on their game the other night and they had some big, big hitters missing in Carrasco, Rakitic and Kim. Obviously, Kim definitely won't be there. Rakitic and Carrasco probably. Let's see what happens with those two. Yeah, I think they're just motoring on, aren't they? Yes. They really are. They've got so much spare capacity as well. I just can't see them being stopped. And again, it's worth reiterating that Al Hilal are doing all this without Neymar.
Yeah. I mean,
so, what could they do otherwise?
I think the last time you were on, probably the last few times you were on, and every week with myself and Peter, you know, we look at the fixture list and we say, is this a possible match that they will lose or like drop points? Could it be this one? Could this like be like difficult circumstances? And they've answered every question. And as you said, you know, with the minimum of fuss, really, they just keep taking on. Incredible stuff. So, yeah, congratulations to Al Hilal. I mean, yeah, an incredible world record. Well done to Jorge Jesus and all his players. But I want to talk about them. I mean, obviously, Matt, you cover UAE football extensively, and I think it's worth talking about. I mean, you've already mentioned Alain, you know, and also you wrote for us about what this result could mean to the UAE football. To UAE football, it's, you know, they had a poor Asian Cup, AFC Asian Cup. We know that and all that. So this, you know, it's probably one of the biggest club results for Emirati football for a while now. Tell us what that, you know, the positive knock-on effect that this could have.
Yeah, I mean, it's all the attention has understandably been taken in Middle Eastern football in the last few years, first by Qatar with the whole World Cup cycle. And then obviously Saudi Arabia with the splashes they've been making in the transfer market and also their own their bid for the World Cup. So the UAE football has taken a little bit of a back seat. It's just been seen by the fact you look at the Champions League as well. I think it's 2016, the last time a UAE club made the semi-finals of the AFC Champions League, which was Al Ain, and they managed to get there again. And they've done it with two highly impressive performances against an Al Nassr, of course, that with Cristiano Ronaldo within their ranks will always garner global attention. And then you look at the league itself, there's a fantastic title race on the way. We've had a great story with Al Wasl. I'd say the 20th century's dominant club in Emirati football. The team also had Maradona as their manager in the 21st century as well. They're on the cusp of a first title in approaching two decades. They've still got quite a healthy lead, but Al Ain really are kicking up a gear now with Hernan Crespo at the helm, is doing an absolutely wonderful job, Crespo, which is a great story in itself. You know, Crespo, a massive name in global football, doing great things at Al Ain. And then you've got Shabab Al Ahly, the champions as well, with talented players in their ranks. There's a lot going on with UAE football. And I think ultimately as well, the UAE under Paolo Bento, they weren't the only nation to disappoint at the Asian Cup, but they certainly was a massive disappointment. They played, I mean, they barely strung together even 10 minutes of impressive football during the Asian Cup. And you've got off to this big cycle kicking in together. They've had the perfect start for World Cup qualifying. They've got a doubleheader against, I think it's Yemen, coming up next as well. And it's all about building momentum. And this result is a real chance to do that against Al Nassr. Of course, I think it's five members of the current UAE squad are from Al Ain. So they can hopefully take that confidence with them into World Cup qualifying.
Great stuff. That's great stuff, Matt. And would you say, I mean, eight points at the moment behind Al Wasl? It's eight, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, eight with a game in hand.
Yeah. Is it, you know, can they put like a late push for the title?
I think what was most interesting is that Al ain't on form. They really are. They're playing wonderfully at the moment. And Crespo came in November. There's a few teething problems in the first month or so, but they've been imperious since then, since the start of December, pretty much. And yeah, I guess if Wasl, it's they've got a reputation, Wasl having been a club that are really entertaining, but not the most solid, I guess. And when Wasl, they themselves were on an unbelievable run. They were one of the last teams to be defeated this season in global football. But that came in the League Cup, the added cup semi-finals, which was via 4-0 demolition the second leg to Al-Wada. So I think that just made people think that maybe there's a little, you know, there could be a few frays that people could pull at. And Al-Ain, they're in position to do it. And also, let's not discount Shabab Al-Ahly as well. The holders, they're only a point behind Al-Ain. Both Shabab Al-Ahly and Al-Ain have a game in hand on Al-Wasl. So yeah, it's teed up nicely. But Al-Wasl, everyone was looking at them after they got humiliated in the added cut semi-final second leg, and they went to Banias and won convincingly this weekend. So, you know, they're not going anywhere by the looks of it. But if they start slipping up, we know we've got two very strong teams ready to step in.
And, you know, one last point about the UAE Pro League, the ADNOC Pro League. Matt, I mean, I guess in contrast, again, in contrast to Al Hilal, we say that quite a lot these days, and possibly in contrast, I mean, I know Hilal didn't win the league last year, of course, you know, but it does seem like that there's more variety, shall we say, in the UAE league, or like possibility of like different champions, certainly this season. And then when you look at Saudi Arabia, obviously, like Al Nasser and Hilal were putting on like that massive gap, but Al Hilal have disappeared over the horizon. Well, at least, you know, like what's happening in the UAE, you see like a little bit more parity at the top. Would you say that?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at recent years, it's, I guess the previous decade was dominated by Al Ain and Al Ahly, now known as Shabab Al Ahly. But in the last few years, you've had Jazeera, Sharjah winning titles, Banias finishing second. There is more competition, obviously, with Al Wasl coming up on the, I guess, they haven't won a title for approaching two decades. They very much in the driver's seat for the title this year. So, yeah, and I say another thing about the ADNOC Pro League as well has been the strategic decision taken 5 years ago now to open up the league to under 23 players. And now you've got a whole group, a second wave of players that are going to be naturalized, which has already begun actually with this current March squad features Issam Fayez, who's a Morocco born defensive midfielder, very promising player. And his 5 years of residency came up in February after he joined Ajman. So he's in the UAE squad, and he's going to be the first of, I mean, there could be 5 to 10 exceedingly talented players in their early to mid-20s who are going to come into the UAE squad. So it's been a conscious and long-term strategic approach by the league, all with the national team in mind. And that's going to be something that's very interesting to watch in the coming seasons. And also, it's rewarding these clubs for consistency, because you need 3 years to get Emirati citizenship, 5 years residency to play for the national team. So it's meant that these clubs have had to invest both time and resources into talented young players. And I think that's helped the league out massively. And we see now that Al Ain, Shabab Al Ahly in particular, and Al Wasl have been teams that have done this well, and they're getting rewards in the league table.
That's great stuff. And it, as you say, does encourage a little bit of luck, long-term thinking, not getting people in and out as much. Great stuff, Matt, as usual. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All the best, guys.
You're not getting away just yet. Listen, fascinating on update on the UAE as well. With that in mind, I'm going to put you on the spot. Al Hilal versus Al Ain, probably one of the most anticipated AFC Champions League ties in recent years. How are you calling it?
I think it's just the waste of talent at Al Hilal. There's so much to laud about Al Ain and what they're doing as a club and under Hernan Crespo. But the waste of talent for Al Hilal is just ridiculous, isn't it? So I think it can only be Al Hilal. And then just looking at the broader competition as well, they look so strong compared to even the East Asian teams as well. So, I think I have to say Al Hilal to beat Al Ain and then to win the Champions League as well.
Can't disagree with that. As always, the fantastic Matt Monaghan. Ali Khalid, the same question goes to you.
Yeah, I think something similar will be, I think Alain will prove tough. You know, I mean, they proved us all wrong against Al Nassr. I think they will do that again. You know, they'll prove themselves real. But I do think it might go a bit like Al-Hilal's tie against Ittihad. Possibly like maybe even narrower wins, but I do think they'll probably win both legs and go through. At the moment, you know, I really just can't see anyone stopping them at home or in Asia.
Nope, that's it. The only thing stopping us is the end of this week's episode. Thank you, gentlemen, as always. A monumental week of football in the region. We'll see you next week for another edition of Dowry.